Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host, Vincent the Bay.
Vincent the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Test 1-2, mic check. 1-2-1-2. Can you hear this? Check, check. Test to go. Caleb Newt's Goose Cream Soup. Very mad. Check the beat. 1-2, microphone check. Microphone check. 1-2. Let's bring in the Vince and the Bay Orchestra real quick. Let's just get them warmed up. I think I might be joined by an in-studio guest later. I don't know. I can't guarantee this, but let me get the band playing and hang on. Let me check on something here. Oh, yeah, VITB Orchestra. Okay, hey everybody, it's Vince of the Bay. My co-host has just arrived from a day in the Bay, it looks like. Where are you coming from, ma'am? This is Lisa Shalom in the house right now, live in studio. Lisa Shalom, where are you coming from, honey?
I'm coming from a... Yep.
A yoga class? At that center over there in the corner?
Yep.
Good times. How come you didn't bring any cute ladies back with you?
They were too busy chanting Om Namo Narayan, so I thought I'd just let them do their thing.
What now? What was that again?
Om Namo Narayan? Yeah. Good question. That's not why I'm not there chanting with them.
Oh. It sounds like some Kabbalah type shit. Sounds like something you'd be into.
To be honest, I think it's related to peace, bringing peace. I think that's the intention behind that one.
It's just a very fancy way of saying peace.
It's a Sanskrit chant, so some people use it to invoke certain energies.
Excellent. Well, hopefully we can invoke some positive energy here tonight, because I had some drama go down on the show last night. Good friend of the show kind of rage quit on the show last night. Huh? Well, he was offended by some commentary going on in the chat room. And apparently he's not going to be with us anymore. And it's a shame. It's OpNoPro. Did you ever meet OpNoPro?
No, at least it's not crappy airbags.
Dude, things aren't that great with crappy airbags either. Let's not hate on crappy airbags. He's got his one of his kids, he calls them little bags, is having a bout with Lyme's disease, and he just got out of the hospital. So our thoughts and prayers are with crappy airbags right now.
Yeah, I'm not hating on him. I'm just mentioning his name because I like it so much.
Good. I like it very much too, and I miss crappy airbags. I miss OpNoPro. I miss crappy airbags. I miss them all. Oh, I've missed a non-sicko for the last couple of days. I don't think I've heard from a non-sicko in a while, and he is here now with me. So thanks, Vince of the Bay Orchestra, the band. Thank you, guys. Cut it. Thank you. All right. A non-sicko is here with me now. What's up, a non-sicko? What's going on, bro?
Not much, man. Just kind of happy I get to put into the show. Still working on getting the job.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, except I'm never going to see you guys. I'm not going to have time
to see you. Why won't you see us?
Because I'm going to be... It's easier to explain by voice. I'm going to be working 12-hour days, 6 days a week. When you figure in commute time, my days are going to be about 16-hour days. I'll have my shifts are from 5 in the morning to 5 at night. So if your show ends at 1 o'clock my time, I'll be I won't wake up till after your show ends, you know what I mean? It's no possible way for me to be able to tune in. It sucks.
Totally, bro. It's okay. You can catch us in the podcast, relive it the next day.
Yeah, but it's just not the same.
You're right, it's not the same. I mean, it's kind of lackluster live to begin with, and then, you know, you take out the live element and it just totally falls completely flat. I get you. I get you, bro. Hey, don't tell. Hey, I'm the one that's been putting up with this nonsense, or putting out this nonsense for the last over 2 years. So it's not the first time I've had a regular caller decide they were not satisfied with what they saw going on in the chat room. It's the double-edged sword of having ignoring your chat room and letting it roll. It's what happens. People have left this show for different reasons. They've come and gone for different reasons, and I'm grateful for the time we've all spent together. It is what it is. Well, what can you do? What can you do? In retrospect, I would say that maybe I should have put some people on timeout. I wasn't really enforcing the normal type of rules. I think I've put people on timeout for things other than scrolling in the past, but I don't know. I was sometimes lately I've just been kind of in the mode where if I peek in on the chat room and I don't see any scrolling going on, I just figure all's well in the world, okay? And maybe I dropped the ball on that. Maybe I got to keep a better eye on what's going down. I did review the chat log last night, and I could see how people could be offended. But, dude, I'll show you some chat logs. You want to be offended by a chat log? I'll give you some chat logs. That's PG. That's rated G Disney material. So, and I'm sorry, maybe some of that, there's material that's just not suitable for some listeners. And I if I'm not going to encourage a you're not going to see me doing a Nazi show. That's for damn sure. And, if people just are throwing around crazy shit all over the place, of course I'm going to clamp down. But I don't know. I just didn't. The red flags were not blaring quite as loud last night as they were. But whatever, it is what it is. In retrospect, I think if I was actually paying attention to that chat room, I would have put Carl Barks on timeout. No doubt about it. But I'll tell you what though, I didn't do anything to Carl Barks, and Carl Barks left when OpNoPro left. So, you know, basically it looks like to me the troll achieved his objective. So it's whatever. It is what it is. Carl Barks is a notorious troll. I'm sorry for some of you folks that was the first time experiencing him. That's where the ignore feature comes into play. But if things get really wild, just, you know, call it to my attention and I'll do a better thorough examination. In retrospect, you know, I should have came to OpNoPro's defense and put Carl Barks on timeout. But you know what? I can't change the past. What's done is done. The thing is, though, is I had the one angry Jew on with me, who is also a Jew. And he didn't seem to even give a shit. He didn't even pay any attention to Carl Barks. He was able to exist on the show just nicely. Yeah. But
the
whatever.
The Jew existing somewhere nicely, I really doubt those words.
What's that?
Because one angry Jew is existing somewhere nicely, I doubt those words.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's take some calls. Let's see who's here. This is a Skype caller. Please rise or stand. You're on the air. Who's this? Hey, it's your national anthem. You want to sing along with it?
Thanks for the opportunity to solo on my national anthem. I've always wanted to do that on the air.
Congrats. You finally, your moment has finally arrived. Check that one off the fucking bucket list. Okay. Let's try to ground ourselves now in the proceedings and get back down to reality. And who better to do that with than our good friend Shagmi. What's up, Shagmi?
Oh, yeah. Not much, just doing some research, some catching up, some digging, Googling, exploiting, planning, corruption, wondering what the fuck the Department of Defense is doing at all fucking occupied the past couple of days, how much money was wasted with those security guards. You can't even call them local police. I don't even think the local police was there this weekend. How much money was fucking wasted on that whole thing? Just playing with those kids' minds. Beating them the fuck up. Breaking bones. Yeah. A lot of shit's going on in the world.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt, bro. I hear ya. Shit popping off all over the place here in downtown San Francisco. They had a
That's what I'm talking protest. About. San Francisco.
Oh, you're talking about San Francisco. I mean, God, this shit's happening every
Chicago,
place.
Chicago, San Francisco, but, Sacramento, Indiana.
You know what? I bet it's going to happen again tonight because I heard they put their tents back up. So
it's not the tents. See, this is the mind game they're playing.
It's totally the tents. Of course, it's the tents.
No, it's not. See, they're playing.
Why haven't they tried to take away the tents? I mean, the people in New York got around the tent thing by just holding tarps, and they're still there. They're not getting
because
around.
They don't.
Although
wanna...
there's another factor here. Regardless of tents, I'm pretty sure Justin Herman Plaza is a public park for all intents and purposes, and it probably has a curfew, and it probably has, you know, local. Curfews on and whatever laws on camping overnight. I'm sure you know they're this is the city of San Francisco, dude. We've got a bazillion laws. It's I don't joke about it being the People's Republic of San Francisco for nothing. You can't get a goddamn circumcision in this town. It's
illegal.
You
can't even fart in public
okay?
without getting
so you can't get a circumcision, you know, in this town. Odds are you can't camp out overnight in a park in a tent, all right? And that's just the law. And that's what civil disobedience is all about. Do you not understand that? Civil disobedience is you are purposely breaking the law, and you're doing it to make a point. The thing that I don't get is these people, you know, I'm totally down with them doing this civil disobedience, but don't act surprised when the cops come and arrest you.
But it's not the cops. You don't understand. It's the Department of Defense.
Right, it's the white shirts. Right. It's the white
shirts.
No.
Listen.
In Wall Street.
Local police, their radio is completely blank. All right? San Francisco, Chicago, all the other states. I mean, over 600 people got arrested for fucking nothing. Because one person wants to instigate.
Not for nothing. Come on, let's be fair. It's for trespassing. For loitering, for disorderly conduct, for jaywalking. I guarantee you each person has a site were cited for something.
How many
right?
people are selling crack down
not,
the street?
And arresting is
down the street.
In many of these cases.
How many thugs were down the street with fucking guns in their pockets? And they want to arrest people just for camping out in public? How many real crimes happened that they could have fucking attended to, except they were like, let's get these fucking campers. Let's try to ruin their First Amendment for the freedom of speech. Let's
dude,
try to crush them
dude,
and have them fear the
all,
government.
You want to talk about the First Amendment? Who's the First Amendment written for? Who's the First Amendment written to? Who is the First Amendment addressing? Tell me.
I think it was Helen Keller.
Who is the First Amendment? You've thrown it around like it's nothing. Tell me the First Amendment. Who's it written to?
I can't remember. I have
the
to.
People.
The people.
Jesus
the people.
Christ. The first goddamn word is Congress shall make no law. It has nothing to do with you or me. The First Amendment is geared towards those 450 people, 500 people in Washington. That's who the First Amendment is for. It's to make sure those people don't make a law that says you can't speak your mind. There's no
well,
law.
Apparently,
says,
that is happening right now. We can't
no,
speak
no,
your
you
mind.
No, you can speak your mind. These people are speaking their mind, but at the same time, they are trespassing. They are jaywalking. That's part of the deal, dude. That's part of the deal. They're not arresting them because they're speaking their mind. They're arresting them because they're putting up structures in a public park in a city that has ordinances against that and has a police department that enforces those laws. Isn't your whole protest about making sure that Washington enforces the laws on the criminals in Wall Street? What sort of example are you showing to them? You're just proving them right then. If you think there's a special law for you just because you've got something on your mind.
No, it's really showing the true colors of the government.
You.
Though
they can't muzzle you for saying something, but they can muzzle you for saying it and standing, you know, in a spot you're not supposed to be in. But the reason why these people are in that spot they're not supposed to be in is because they want to make a point. And that's the whole and that's great. I salute that. I think that's great. But that's part of the deal. Getting arrested is part of the deal. That's part of civil disobedience. It's not a free pass. You don't get a free pass to just get away with bloody murder because you don't like the banks.
Vince does raise a couple good points. You know, it's freedom of speech, not freedom to erect a tent. I will give them that. Now, a lot of places, like I know Austin has a law in the book stating that if you're at a protest, you can't camp out there. But even then, I mean, you can find ways to camp out without having to erect tents. Hold on, Shaggy.
Let you continue. Then I have something that you guys should be aware of about that really fucking pisses me off.
But that's fine. But another thing is, I mean, Vince... He makes a good point about, you know, when you show up to things like this and you start pushing against the system, you have to expect stuff like that. You know, if you're just standing on a street corner and you were just.
Do you think Martin Luther King was crying when they took him in? Go watch old footage of Martin Luther King, who was, by the way, for all intents and purposes, a Tea Partier. He was a Republican. This guy stood up for his rights. He's hailed as a saint, all right, by everybody. It goes beyond race, goes beyond borders, all that shit. And he, do you think he was crying when they took him in and cuffed him? Do you think he was like complaining, like, my free speech is being taken away? Oh my God, my free speech! Oh my God, my free speech! Can you believe this? No, he went quietly and with dignity, and he was dressed in a suit like he was going to church. So you better go back into your history books. And start figuring shit out before you start throwing around free speech and all that shit, all right? And I understand why y'all turned away John Lewis. You know, I understand it's a procedure. Sorry, John, procedures. But you know what? And you guys like, and John Lewis took that in all in stride too. Kudos to him. You know, like he's looking out for John Lewis, of course. But you know what? Dude, you got to fucking check yourself before you wreck yourself, all right? Yeah, it's turning into a back and forth. He said, she said, oh, woe is me. You know, oh, Gandhi this, Martin Luther King that. Go back and look at fucking Gandhi and what he did when he was, you know, face to face with shit. All right? Go back and watch that fucking movie, Steven Spielberg. You'll fucking, you know, you'll
I've never seen that movie.
You might get a true guy and fucking learn something at the same time. All right?
Yeah. Vince, hold on.
Oh, go ahead, Shaggy.
I totally forgot what I was going to say, but no. All right, protests are considered as a low form of terrorism. Who the fuck passed that? Who in their fucking right mind says if you protest, you're considered a fucking terrorist?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, back in the 60s,
I don't even want to get into that. That's ridiculous. Go ahead, Sicko.
Back in the 60s and 70s, we had the civil rights movement, we had the anti-Vietnam War movement, and stuff like that, and things got really bad for the people out there, but it also got bad for the government, right? So since then, they have put in the necessary steps to prevent things from ever getting bad for the government like that again. So what we have to do is we have to push the envelope. You have to be willing to get arrested. But Vince raises a very good point. You have to do it with dignity. Okay, you have to do it with your head held high. You have to do it intelligently. You don't don't go and block up the Brooklyn Bridge. That does nothing.
They were misled with that Brooklyn Bridge thing.
Are you kidding me? I thought the Brooklyn Bridge thing was brilliant. I thought it was awesome. So, you know, I thought they should have just kept. I thought it was a shame they couldn't just keep going. You know, I think that was a bad move by the cops. I think the cops should, if they really wanted to not impede
traffic,
let them go
on the side of the bridge and then block the bridge
just,
off. And...
No, don't even block the bridge. Just let them go over the bridge, so good traffic could keep going. You know.
And then the white church was like, "Batters up."
Whatever, man. But those people have to know what they're getting into. And the thing is, most of those people probably do.
A lot of the people in my generation, and it's mine, and it's Shaggy's generation who are, I guess, at the forefront of this movement. You know,
they have no idea
between the seventh. We'll say from 18 to late 20s. I know Vince is like 47 or something.
He's 50.
But
I'm 53.
No, we've never had a movement. So I think a lot of what you're seeing right now is growing pains. People are learning how to do this. I
see a lot of navel gazing. A lot of people just kind of like just like the sound of their voice on the human mic.
And
just
kind of,
they want to be able to be up there with their little designer jeans and their tight little designer t-shirt and their all their braids and all that shit. And like this general assembly I went to yesterday, you know, there was some intelligent, forthright people going on, some assertive people going on. But then there was like some people that were just kind of like, you know, guy had a megaphone. He had a fucking megaphone, and somehow he was able to just like, he was just like, he was like trailing off of the thing with no authority or anything, just kind of like trying to – just sort of a wallflower that said, oh, I need people to look at me, so I must have the megaphone. You know, and that's the kind of shit that you guys got to fucking, like, squelch out and say, look, bro, we're here for business. We're not here to fucking, you know, twiddle our thumbs and show off our fresh pair of jeans, all right?
And I'll give Vince that, too.
And I sat through a half-hour debate.
There are a lot of people out there who are just trying to get space.
I sat through a half-hour debate on – it was a discussion about discussions, literally. A discussion about – I was like, is this like candid camera? Is somebody going to, like, turn around and say, gotcha, Vince? Like, they were literally had a discussion about discussions. Like, when and where they should have discussions and how they should – oh, my God. They need, like, a discussion breakout group.
Well, anyway
– I'm cynical, but you need some –
You are very closed-minded. That's all it is, Vince. Maybe it's because you're so old and you're stuck in your ways, but...
Isn't it closed-minded people that you want to welcome, that are part of the 99% that you're trying to welcome into your movement? I'm asking you to sell me on this. Like, I'm telling you, like, I'm down for, you know, I'm definitely just as pissed with the banks as you are, but, let's work with me here. It's got to be more than just, oh, hey, look at me over here. Look at me at the park.
But you got to understand, some people seek attention because they never got attention when they were younger. All right, this movement was for one reason only, and it kind of deterred from that because people are like, oh, we can make this about gay, lesbian, trans, whatever. We can make this about the unions. We can make this about fucking school. We can make this about – people really got lost in the origin, in the core of what is really going on and what it's all about, and that is the Federal Reserve, that they have so much power that they control the government.
It's not just the Federal Reserve, though. If it was just the Federal Reserve, then this would be a Ron Paul protest. It's not just the Federal Reserve. Our government was crooked way before the Federal Reserve even came into being. Our government's been crooked since the first day it was founded. George Washington's presidency was bought. If George Washington's presidency, if his presidency wasn't bought, then John Adams would have been our first president. Okay. So not our second president, but the thing is what we're trying to the protest. It's about fixing. It's not about fixing just our government or fixing our. It's like Motormouth said. It's about fixing the world. You know, there's a lot of fucked up shit going on right now. A lot of fucked up shit. It's not just the Federal Reserve. It's not just our banking system. It's not just Wall Street. Wall Street's a big part of it because the big players in Wall Street are the big players in oppressing. Exactly. Motormouth News just hit the nail on the head right there. The movement's about oppression. People are tired of being oppressed. Okay. People are tired of being. I mean, I have no future. Okay. It's like I was telling Vince just early. I just got a minimum wage job. I'm going to be working 12 hours a day. If you figure in commute time, I'm going to be working 16 hours a day. Okay? 5 days a week at the least, 6 to 7 days a week at the most. For minimum wage, killing myself, not being able to do nothing because of what, not just our government, but what everybody's governments are doing to it. It's not just here. I mean, look at Greece. Look at Italy. Look at Spain, and it's happening everywhere. That's what the movement's about. It's not just the Federal Reserve, and it's not just the banks. Now, the banks are good targets. The Federal Reserve are good targets because the people who control those are they have a lot to they have a lot to do with it. But it's not just them. A part of it is a broken system too. You know, we needed government when we formed when we've been had government throughout the past is we. We needed the government to do things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, okay? To facilitate interstate trade and international trade and stuff like that. But, you know, we don't need it anymore, right? Because we as people, we can do it on our own. People say democracy is the best form of government. No, because any form of government we have decided so far has, regardless and however you look at it, it puts the power of the people into a group of smaller people So smaller people will always have control over the group of larger people, and that's what this is about. You know what I mean?
Yet everyone loves America and wants to come here, even though it's probably, well, not as more corrupt. You know, it's not as corrupt as China and, say, other places like that where you can't even speak about against your government. But from what I've seen since I was a little kid, this America fucking sucks. I'd rather be in Ethiopia starving my ass off and having to deal with a lot of problems that I'm seeing now.
And on that, we're going to take a little break. We got some more calls. We're going to come. We're going to take in a second. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me. This is a good, healthy debate and conversation we're having here. I feel like we're in a good little groove, guys. I'm here with Sicko and Shagmi. I'm checking up on the chat room here. Shouts out to everybody in the chat room. Sicko's in the chat room. Anonymous Zeke in the house. Caleb News. Goose Cream Soup, a Merry Mad, Motormouth News, No Thieves Allowed. Shouts out to No Thieves Allowed in the building. Apanani Bear in the house. Hello, Apanani Bear. Also, Prison Reform Movement. Hello, sister. Good to see you here. It's a lady. It's a lady, Shalom. And Shagmi and the Real Hoppy Hop. The Real Hoppy Hop. I don't even know. I'm not even aware there's like a fake Hoppy Hop.
What the hell's going here?
Oh, nice. Lisa Shalom, my in-studio guest tonight. She will be performing yoga live. She will lead us in yoga in the second hour. So stick around for that. And shouts out to her. She just gave me some granola thins. I'm going to have a granola thin. I guess I got to chill out. I'm sorry. I've got a lot of beef, and I'm just expressing myself, right? It's just free speech, right? My First Amendment right, dudes. My First Amendment right, dude. Because I'm exercising my free speech, you all have to agree with me. Just because I'm exercising my free speech. I'm sorry, guys. Just how it is. And there better be no anti-Semitic talk in my chat room or we're going into fucking martial law. All right, bitches? Okay. I'm going to take a break. Yes, I have a case of the Mondays. Fucking sue me.
Thank you. tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay.
Don't quit your day job.
Mentre la multinazionale Thomson si è impadronita di tutti I brevetti della DPL e la ricerca ufficiale sembra si sia concentrata su applicazioni industriali di scarso interesse sociale e comunicativo, il sogno dei pionieri delle realtà virtuali perché queste siano condivise da più persone ed economicamente accessibili a tutti sembra allontanarsi. Ma la sperimentazione indipendente non si è fermata e oggi, grazie ad alcuni geniali creativi, è possibile accedere a dei sistemi di realtà virtuale a basso costo e condivisi. Parliamo di Rentro 86 su Marin dal Corpo.
Finish him.
Down goes Frieza! Down goes Frieza! Down goes Frieza!
These top fighters are really something else.
Wallace. Victory. Friendship.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vincent the Bay.
What a silly Negro.
Oh, motherfucking Jaya. Oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, everybody. I'm back. I had my granola thin. Dark chocolate. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa Shalom. Appreciate that. Lisa Shalom is my in-studio guest tonight. And we're taking calls. I'm back here with Anon Sicko and Shagmi. And now we are joined by my Bay Area brethren, none other than Goofy Bone. What's up, Goofy Bone?
Hey, how you doing, Vince? Cheers to everybody on here. How y'all doing tonight?
Well, you know, things are a little tense, but
Vince is mad.
Such is the way of the world. I'm having a little case of the Mondays, and you know, I'm trying to Shagmi and Sicko are trying to talk some sense into me, and
I wasn't trying to talk sense into you. That was just as much directed at it was just as much directed at Shaggy as it was you. I mean, it was.
I'm totally picking up what you're putting down, dude. I'm kind of joshing, but
okay. I don't want you to think I'm just like ganging up on you. You know what I mean?
No, you're not ganging up on me. It's just everybody else in the chat room who's ganging up on me. I appreciate your stab at being neutral here. Yeah, you know, it's all good. Hey, man, I'm not gonna, you know, deny an exchange of ideas. I mean, this is what it's all about, yo. You know,
Buttermouth says you look like Paul Giamatti.
Which picture? Send me the picture. It depends on which era you find me in. If it's, you know, back in the 70s when I was running drugs for the CIA, then yeah, I had that look going.
Try to find a ball picture.
If it was the 80s when I was a Wall Street trader that helped. Crash the market in 87, then I'm going to look a little bit more like Will Wheaton, circa fucking, what was that Star Trek Deep Space Nine? Yeah. Minus the outfit, of course, but with the ears. Didn't he have the ears? Or was he the only person that didn't have some weird feature?
I don't know. I never watched Star Trek.
Wasn't Will Wheaton a Klingon?
Uh-huh.
Shalom. You look that up for me. Will Wheaton, was he a Klingon? What was Will Wheaton? What the fuck was he? Because everybody's a different type of alien in Star Trek, right? What the hell was he? Was he the only human?
A Klingon? Fuck Star Trek.
Lisa Shalom, my in-studio guest, and also a crack researcher. And she's also going to be instructing yoga in the next hour. Stick around for that. Let's take some calls. Goofy's here. Goofy, what's up, man? What's on your mind?
Nothing. I'm just here hanging out. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been on here in a while.
Dude, what's up, man? I heard your show got pulled. What the hell did you do?
Not the what the hell did I do, you know. Good old our mutual friend, she found out that I had an awesome troll war coming up, so she knew that I was going to affect her reputation, so she decided to write a... have Ghost on my bad side. So her and Ghost ganged up together and decided to write.
Oh, not
a,
Ghost. Ghost. You and Ghost are, you and Ghost are buddies. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we were. We were buddies, but unfortunately not. But yeah, so they ganged up. They wrote a nice, nasty letter to Blog Talk Radio. I mean, what I'm going to do is I'm going to subpoena them either Thursday or Friday.
Now, wait a second, Goofy. Wait a second. We're here with occupiers here. Were you exercising your First Amendment right?
You know what? To be honest with you,
apparently, if you are, if you're just
let them fucking answer. Goofy,
if you're just speaking your mind, Goofy. Jeez, you can
Vince,
get away with anything.
Let him answer.
Yeah, but you got to understand. See, I was there for Anonymous at Operation BART. But when Blog Talk Radio canned me, where's Anonymous to help me? You know what I mean? So
Anonymous isn't your own personal army, though.
Doesn't matter. Where's their personal army? So tell me that. Everyone that's doing this off Wall Street wants to be anonymous, but obviously they're out there looking like idiots.
Actually,
I disagree with that.
I kind of feel like Anonymous has sort of faded into the distance and let all the face fags or whatever you want to call them take over. Like, I think Anonymous
would,
Anonymous would, this is like how everything Anonymous attaches itself to does. They're there to kick things off and help bring an extra spotlight to something, and then they kind of fade into the background and let the real folks who are, you know, who really have it all researched and worked out take over. That's what kind of what I saw. I saw Anonymous as just part of the initial marketing push, if you will, and they've kind of.
Well,
I mean, you still see
Anonymous. Anonymous has a lot more to do with Occupy Wall Street and the Occupy movement. Then you give them credit for. But the thing
they're not out there working as Anonymous. Like I'm not. Yeah.
How do you know?
I mean, I guess I didn't
articulate that the way I wanted it. I'm saying the you don't see an outward push by Anonymous. I'm not saying the people that make up Anonymous aren't involved in this. They're, you know, I follow them on Twitter. They're very engaged in this, obviously. But you don't see MSNBC reports that Anonymous is now, you know, doing this to Wall Street. Anonymous is now doing that. No, they're not on the radar. They're not on the radar. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
If you did, then this would
did
just become about Anonymous, and we have to. We have to avoid this becoming just about Anonymous.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is what's happened to this whole thing is it's not about Anonymous. That banner, Anonymous, has done its work as far as I'm concerned, and it's the people that are taking it from here. And those people happen to be members. Some of them happen to be members of Anonymous. Does that make sense?
Anonymous is all over the camps and areas all over. It's just they're not as public as being, oh, look, I'm associated with Anonymous because, of course, you know what's going to happen as the end result.
All right, my bad. So this is all Anonymous is what you're saying?
Not all.
No.
Not all. I can't give specific numbers because I really don't know, but as far as...
It's 50% Anonymous. It's a good portion of Anonymous is what you're saying then. They're very much in the fold here.
Yeah, well, thanks to Adbusters, this whole thing really kicked off all over the world. That's what really started it, as far as I know.
Fair enough. Got it. Okay, there you go, Goofy. You're right. It is all Anonymous. My bad. I kind of felt like Anonymous was back into the distance, but whatever. Apparently, this is Anonymous, an Anonymous protest.
Anonymous
with everybody else.
Am I lying? Anonymous.
Totally lied. Yeah.
So, I mean, what? They went out there, they set the stage, and they decided just to take off? Is that what they did?
No, that's not what they did. That's what I thought they did, but I'm being told otherwise. So, continue.
I just think that these people, they should be ashamed of themselves. This is America. This is where you can make your own dreams come true.
But the
this
thing
is where a hardworking person could be a millionaire by the time they're ready to retire.
No.
That's a good point, though.
I think that's a good point, Goofy. I think this is a place where your dreams come true, and I think for some of these protesters, their dreams are coming true. It's a not a hidden secret that everybody, you know, wants a revolution. Everybody wants to be a revolutionary. It's very sexy to be part of, to be seen as a revolutionary, and it's fun getting swept up in a moment, in a movement, and you know that's very alluring. And
here's the thing, though,
it's manifesting
fine and dandy
for some
to be able to,
their dream of being a revolutionary is in some ways coming true.
It's all fine and dandy that some people can make $1 million or whatnot, but where our country has lost its way is, what about the people who don't have $1 million? You know what I mean? What about the people who don't
have
any money?
Through
no fault of their own. Trust me.
Have you ever heard the words, the only the strong survive? Have you ever heard that?
Wow, Goofy. That is horrible.
That is really horrible.
How is that horrible? How is that horrible? You're saying back in the days when a caveman killed something and he was the only thing eating it, you think the other people watching him eat it, they were over there protesting because he was eating something and he could have shared?
Goofy,
are you serious?
I know, but they were probably thinking, oh, I wish I could have some of that.
Shut up for a second, y'all. Goofy, do you have a brother, sisters, anything like that?
Yeah. What's up? What does that have to do with?
Nope. Imagine your brother or sister, whatever's out there, and through no fault of their own, gets laid off, can't afford to fucking pay the rent, and now is homeless. Are you saying we shouldn't care about your sister? That you would just let your sister sit out there and die?
So where's the people to help me when I had no money at one point in time?
That's what we're saying, though, bro.
I thought that was the Norteños. I thought you ran with the Norteños, bro.
Listen.
Somebody should have been there to help
you. I didn't sit there and cry about, oh, I'm broke and I have nothing. I got off my ass and I figured out ways to get me back on my feet. And that's what all these people need to do. Yeah, and the funny thing is that in Occupy
San
Jose.
But it ain't that easy anymore, bro.
Okay, can you hold on? Can you hold on? In Occupy San Jose, there's not a poor person out there. There's nothing but rich San Jose University kids that are out there in $350 tents. So you tell me, where's the 99% of the real poor at? Where are they? Why does the rich kids have to talk for the poor people? That's like a white kid talking for a black person. I mean, what's the point? Seriously. Nothing's going to get solved. You can sit there and cry all you want. Nothing's going to get solved.
You don't
all
think
right,
so?
Go ahead. Let's your rebuttal, sicko. Go ahead.
Well, first off, you said that it's a bunch of college students out there. College students are a lot of pissed off. They're pissed off because of the way student debt and shit's going down. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to college. Doesn't really sound like it, bro. But if you've been to college, taking out student loans because you have to pay for a $70,000 fucking tuition, all right, you need to, the whole system needs to be reworked. You know what I mean?
I think the lending practices should be examined to myself.
Exactly.
I'm victim of being as far as I'm concerned, I was a victim of predatory lending. When I applied for my student loan and they just said, "Yep, here you go, go for it," you know. I think it's very important that folks when they jump into getting a student loan, they realize what they're getting into. You know, if you're going to NYU for a philosophy degree, and that's going to cost you $100,000. You better think that through. You better think that through. You know, and I don't know if that's necessarily, it could be interpreted as predatory lending, but it also could be, I also believe.
What it is. The government's the only person that can issue student loans. The government guarantees student loans. Okay? So when these people can't pay back, tuition costs got to go up to cover the people who can't pay it back. And eventually you have $100,000 fucking tuition. You know what I mean? I was looking to go to a small school over here in my area. $70,000 they wanted. $70,000 for a small school. I'm not talking about no big school. We're not talking about no high profile school that, you know, nothing like that. and they wanted $70,000 for the courses I wanted to take. That is fucking right. Unreal. People used to be able to go to college and get roughly the same fucking education you're getting now. Maybe even better, depending on what you were doing. And you worked maybe through the summer full time, or you went there part time. You went there part time during the school year. Or your parent. I mean, you used to never hear parents saving up or talking about they have to save up their entire life to pay for their college or kids going back to or go to college. You used to never hear that shit. Now you're hearing it. You know what I mean? That's what we're talking about.
Hopefully this is a gut check, not just for the bankers, but for individuals as well. And speaking of individuals, I have a ton of individuals waiting patiently to join the conversation. So I'm going to go to area code 626. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Amanda Bear.
I had to ask because I wasn't sure. We get several callers from 626. I'm pretty sure Ms. Becker calls from 626 as well.
Yeah,
what's up, Amanda Bear?
You guys sound like you need some hugs. You guys sound really upset.
I would love some hugs. Do you guys good for some hugs?
No thanks. I'm good.
Yay.
I'll take Shagney's hug. I'll take his hug.
Can we split Shagney's hug?
Okay.
Actually, does Goofy Bone get a hug too?
I think I get the hug. You don't want one. Take a hug. Expect the hugs.
Good. Thank you, Amanda. you always find a way to put things into perspective. I really appreciate your input. You're such.
You're welcome.
You're so wise. You know how to cut through it all. What?
Yeah. You just seem so mad. You mad? You mad?
Am I mad? Yeah, I am kind of mad.
Yeah.
I'm part of the 99%. Aren't I supposed to be mad?
Yeah, you're mad. It's okay. We can be mad.
Thanks.
Yay.
Check it out. Yay.
You know, that's how Nani Bear comes on the show and the whole show takes a different tone.
Yeah.
You rule, Nani Bear.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
So what's up, guys? What are you talking about?
Well, we've been talking about all kinds of shit. We got sidetracked onto some. What were we talking about right there? Student loans.
Yeah.
What's your take on this whole student loan mess? And what are your thoughts on it being potentially predatory lending on the part of the government?
Oh boy! I mean, I just gotta wonder why school costs so much in the first place.
Yeah,
that's
you know,
a lot of
I
money.
Seem to remember. I seem to remember when I was in my 20s and it was the 60s and they had all these public schools. You didn't have to pay tuition and back then it wasn't even tuition. It was just extra fees, but it was only like a couple of bucks because it was, after all, it was a state funded institution. And you got to go there. If you wanted to, you just went for free, just like you do at a public high school or any other school, and now suddenly you got to pay. When are they going to make you start paying for public high school?
Yeah,
you know?
Look at that. I have
no idea.
With the technology that we have readily available in our hands, there is no reason that you have to pay, we'll say on average, $50,000 to go to college. Not when a professor who's truly interested in teaching people can upload it to fucking YouTube. You know what I mean? And he can record a lecture and upload it to YouTube, and we can all have the shit for free.
Oh, absolutely. In this day and age, you don't even need to pay for an education. You can just find everything you want on the internet as far as research and stuff.
I'm quoting.
This is where the social injustice comes in. Because if you can't pay for the education, then you don't get the piece of paper, and then jobs that will let you get more money that require that piece of paper.
Thank you.
I mean, it's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. So you can get the same knowledge and information, but if you don't have it down on that paper and you don't have an employer who wants to recognize you just because
even
you're smart,
even
you know,
if
you
have
the
education.
I hear you. Yeah, Shag me. What were you saying?
I said, even if you have the education and you have the knowledge and you're able to, let's put it to computers. You're able to hack into the fucking government and clean all trails, I'm so fucking heated.
Slow down, bro.
So stupid.
Slow down. Just slow down. Take a breath.
Is this a hug?
I'm saying it's retarded because I have all this knowledge and capabilities, but I need a college education because I need the paperwork in order to get a decent job and then to build a career off of that. And I think that's really fucking stupid because way back then you could just say, hey, this is my skills. All right, let's give you a little try, blah, 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 blah. 2 days later, all right, you're hired. Now I can't even get a fucking cashier job in the local food market. Because I need experience because of my age. All right, what about coming out of high school? They said, oh, they need experience too. You're in high school and you have no experience. This is your first job. That means you're not going to hire them? I'm not saying that, but he's shaking his head. It's fucking ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And not even that. Not even that. All these jobs are being exported. Let's have someone in India do this. Let's have someone in China do this. Let's have people over here do this for us. Yet there's no American jobs anymore. It's all outsourced. So what, I have to move to fucking
Canada?
It's
not just the Federal Reserve we need to be looking at. It's not just the banks. It's the entire system. Don't get me wrong. The bankers and the Fed and all that, they play a big part in it. But it's the whole entire system. We need to look at how we view the world. We need to change it, right? This is the kind of sick society we're living in now. If you believe that everybody deserves a home, food, medicine, then you're a socialist and you're evil. I get called a socialist all the time because I personally believe that nobody should have to pay for a place to live. It doesn't make sense to me when we have all these empty fucking houses everywhere. All of them. I mean, they're bulldozing houses.
Yeah, right. We have all these open. We have all these houses that are foreclosed, that are up for auction, that people can't buy because of the market fucked up. Then we got all these homeless people. Oh, we just move them into there. Solve one problem. Work to the next problem.
Exactly.
No,
you know what I mean?
We can't do that because we want to make money.
And when it comes down to it, that you just hit the nail on the head. It comes down to money. You know, we need to find a way that money isn't the it's not the core thing that makes the world go round. You know,
but money is the root of all evil, and it has always
that
been like that.
Around,
even
that saying is around for a reason. You know, it's not just something people say because they don't got any. That saying is around for a reason.
I mean, if we went back to bartering and trading and everything like that, it would be so much better, in a way. But then there'd still be some defects.
But there would still be people who don't have anything to offer, and do the. I mean, and then it comes back down to.
But maybe
they
have
can't
skills.
Pay for food and shit. You know what I mean? We have the technology available, and I'm kind of sounding like I don't know, but we have the technology readily available that all of us on this planet could be living a good life. Maybe not the high life where you're driving all these fancy cars and shit like, but everybody could be fed and clothed and have a house and
basic
not be having to die from
life,
from simple illnesses because they don't have fucking money to pay for the medicine. You know, we have that shit available to us. And if more people
cared
about
us. Oh, yeah, we got
us,
that shit, baby. We got it. What's up?
Go ahead.
I got other callers that want to jump in here. I got this one caller who before I get to this caller, Anonymous 37 just tweeted me saying he's been on hold for 15 minutes. And, dude, I'm looking at my switchboard here, and I just went through all the calls, and you're not here, dude. So call back in and press the number 1 because I don't see you on here, dude, Anonymous 37. But I know he's sounds like he's ready to share a piece of his mind. And you know what? I'm gonna bring on Bathtub Girl. She has a solution for a college tuition. Alternative, whatever. Go ahead, Bathtub Girl. What were you saying?
Hey, it's my birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you. Well, as you know, I teach my children at home.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I teach my children at home, and there's a couple of different ways of going about getting an education that will work for you in the everyday world. Like Khan Academy is good for middle school through high school. And it's well done, and it's done through YouTube, and the public schools use it. It's much more cost-effective. But College of the Ozarks, which is in Columbia, Missouri, I think it is, they have a program where you can work your way through school, and you do not have to get a student loan. And they have a number of different degrees in horticulture and the basic degrees. It's not a big campus, but there are places out there that are forward-thinking, and a lot of people that go to Harvard, they create their own jobs. They create their own worlds. I mean, look at Facebook. Came from Harvard. So, I don't know. This is something I feel very passionate about, and, you know, revamping the system. And I think if you change your lender on your student loans, that can be very effective. Also, there is a little loophole to get out of the student loans that they don't tell you about, and it's called forgiveness. But you have to prove that you cannot work for 3 years. And then they check it again in another 3 years. And at the end of that, then your loan is totally forgiven. All the interest, all the late payment fees, all that. That's the only way to get out of your student loans.
Why would you have to go through all that bullshit to get something you should probably have in the first place?
Thank you.
You know, that used to be free.
Well, you have to deal with what you have right now if you're going to be a realist.
I understand. You got to work with the system. You have to work with the system. You have to live in the real world, but you don't just go with the flow and work with the system and live in the real world, and that's that. You know,
while you're trying to affect change in the world, you still have to deal with what is, and that's one thing. A lot of people don't know about that forgiveness program. What if they became disabled and they're no longer able to work, but they still have this looming over their head, and they're going to garnish their disability check, which is maybe $700-$800 a month, and they're going to garnish it because they're able to.
Now, is that going to work?
Loan.
Yeah. Well, what about non-federal loans, like private institutions? That there's a lot of people that have student loans from. You know, non-governmental institutions, would that help them?
Transfer your loan to a federal program. It's possible. You can do it. And you can transfer your debt from one place to another. It's not that difficult. They do it to you all the time on their behalf. When it suits them, why can't you do it for yourself? And
the
answer
thing is
yes,
transferring debt?
That's all I
heard. How we got in this situation in the first place, moving debt around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a tool that you have. You have that as a tool at your disposal.
Yeah, if they can
exploit
it, why can't
you? I'm not here supporting the system. I'm saying work within it and go ahead and try to affect change. You know, change the programs. You know, I think a lot of the student debt should just be erased. Why can't we get the TARP?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like I was saying at the time, instead of giving that money to the banks, why not just cut each American. Like $3,000. Essentially, that's what it worked out to. About $3,000. You could split that up to all. Everybody gets their own $3,000 check, and there's the bailout. That's what it equated to. And hell, you could even make it tiered. You could make it tiered. You know, if you make over a certain amount, you don't get. You get a certain percentage, and you know if you're making less, you get a bigger chunk. Why not, dude? If they're gonna play, they're just gonna give handouts to the people. Then it's like that really pissed me off, and I think that's one of the uniting points about this little movement is that a lot of people that are kind of on the sidelines right now. That's one of the things that I think they can all identify with is the fact that they just thought that was just not the way to do it. That was an example of a capital. If this is supposed to be a capitalistic society, that was not an example of it. That was a blatant, crony capitalist move or corporatist move or whatever you want to call it. And that was just, to me, again, I said it last night, that was what really, pissed me off, and it pissed a lot of people off at the time, and I think it's a unifying factor between what's going on right now on the streets and the people that are watching and just sort of, you know, hemming and hawing whether they want to jump in or support it. But
that's
what
kind of ironic that you guys talked about Helen Keller, who was a big socialist, and they even wanted her to run for office back in the early 30s, I believe. I just thought it was ironic you guys were talking about her. I was laughing.
Okay. Because we're all socialists. Div, you're here on the air. What's up, Div?
Yeah, I just have one quick question.
Sure, go for it.
Where I don't know who it was, but where are you that there is a tuition of $70,000, for one? You know, two, why would you even think of going there also? I mean, I'm going to a pretty good university out here in Texas, and my tuition is nowhere near a sliver of that.
What are you going for, though?
I'm going for a bachelor's degree, but like my...
A bachelor's degree.
I plan on getting my master's. You know how much that's going to fucking cost? Going to the right technical school.
Stop. Don't interrupt me. Listen. What I'm saying is my tuition is way, way smaller than $70,000. And even for a master's degree, to get a master's degree, the tuition is even cheaper. And it's a pretty damn good university system that I'm going to. I don't understand. I mean, maybe you can explain it to me in a little bit. But, and two, I don't understand also how, if there is affordable, good universities available to everyone else, why doesn't everyone just live within their means? You know what I'm saying? Instead of reaching out in debt, all this debt. I mean, I don't see the logic in that.
I totally agree with you. I think you have to live and learn is part of the equation. For me personally, you know, I'm still paying off my student loan debt, and thankfully mine's not anywhere near what some people have. And it's tough. I wish I would have thought it all through, even for the minor amount that I still owe. You know, it's hamstrung me in many ways. You know, I decided to go to school to be a filmmaker, and I wanted to go to art school, and you know, didn't think it through that you know, eventually I'm gonna have to get a job, and unfortunately there's nobody just waiting at the end of the aisle when I graduate saying, here's the script I want you to direct, here's your 8-picture deal for Paramount. You know, because you know, for some of these kids, that's what they're going to need to pay off this shit in their lifetime. And again, I think it kind of goes back to partial predatory lending. I think there has to be a responsibility on both sides. I think the lender and the borrower, you know, are joining in a mutual agreement, and I think they have to both be going in with their eyes wide open. Like, you know, any normal person using their own money to like a private investor, let's say, gets approached by me saying, hey, what's up, dude? I need like 30 G's to go to film school. Is that cool? Oh, yeah, no problem. Here, let me just peel them off for you. There you go. No problem. You're going to pay me back, right? Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. I'm going to be like the next Spielberg, bro. Watch out. Oh, you're going to be like Spielberg? That's good enough for me. Here's another 30 G's. You know, like, anybody who is in their right mind would think that through and be like, I don't know, this kid's kind of a risk. He's going to school for film. He's going to, you know, a state school. He's just, you know, what the hell is this? He's got he's just a fresh-faced kid off the street. You know, I think somebody would be dubious about giving me a loan if it was their own money. But since it was the government, they don't give a shit. Like, it's just a bureaucrat somewhere in an office that's punching a card. You know, I'm just a number somewhere. It's like, this is just more debt. You know, that's what I don't get is about this, because some people are suggesting that one of the demands is for student debt relief, and to me that doesn't sound like something that you want to petition Wall Street for. That's something you want to petition the government for. But I'm totally on board with your personal responsibility, living within your means, Div, I think that's something that that we all should learn from. We learn from our federal government, who's in is in over its head in debt, and do the opposite of what they're doing. They're just spending like spending money like it's going out of
town. Question about the $70,000 figure?
Yeah.
Yeah, because in California, the UCs it is at, it's not getting close to about $50,000. So add on, living expenses, then, yeah, you got about $70,000 or more to go to college. So that figure's out there. But it probably varies from state to state. And California is a very expensive state to live in, but that is a real figure.
Oh, well, there you go, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're in Texas. It's a little different scenario going on over there. And for good reason. And California's out of control, dude. I don't even want to guess what they're doing now. They're in the process of the UC system here is in the process of doing a fee hike of 16% every year for the next 3 years, I think.
Did they just do 12%?
Is it 12? Yeah. I don't know. It's a double digit figure. They're doing, and there have been riots on the campus. There have been sit-ins at UC Berkeley over this, UC Davis over this. It's an accounting game at this point, and all these austerity measures that are happening in Europe, they're happening here too on a different scale. Let's take another call. I have Jesus Christ. No, Jesus Christ is not here, but I do have a block caller. Who's this? Caller, you're on the air.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Who's this? Oh, wait, I know who this is.
Highway 39.
Highway 39, that's right. I'm sorry, I didn't label you on my switchboard. It's Highway 39, everybody. What's on your mind, bro?
Well, you guys are just talking about a lot of things that to do with even me up here on the Rocky Mountains in Canada. Like, I'm sitting here with $65,000 of student debt myself, and I feel like I was railroaded because anybody has a smart skill, you have to jump through hoops, right? But bottom line is I ended up like you. At the end of it, nobody had this job waiting for me, and now I'm just completely engulfed in debt. It's frightening.
Yeah, Anani Bear, can you give Highway 39 some hugs?
Hugs. Who's that?
That's Anani Bear. Anani Bear, yeah.
Oh, she's got quite a voice there.
Anani Bear is on, on also with Ms. Becker, who is a regular caller. She was also on here earlier chiming in. They're on the same phone line, so they switch off.
But you guys were talking about Anonymous earlier, and I'm sorry about going back.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry we brought up Anonymous. I always get in trouble.
They freaked me out.
Mention it.
They freaked me out because of the masks.
They freaked you out? So the masks freak you out?
Masks were supposed to bring unity, but I think a lot of people realize that it's more of a target now than unity.
Yeah, well,
unity is without.
I know quite a few anonymous participators, however you want to put it, that don't even own a mask, never have, don't plan on buying one.
That
you
makes
know what I mean?
It makes them more anonymous now.
It really does.
Vince.
Yes.
Downtown, I noticed in
you don't want to hear this.
Hang on. Go ahead, Tub Girl. What were you going to say?
That I had a very creative way to take care of my student debt, which it did the trick. I worked as a dominatrix in my early college years. So it was no real sex, no real sex at all. And I made $500 an hour. So I'm just saying you had to get creative.
Is there a market for male dominatrix?
Yay!
Like who's that guy that hangs out
you
with?
Was Bigelow.
No, the machine, the guy that hangs around with Ryan Wilson, the guy on the Giants, the beard. You guys don't even know what I'm talking. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Never mind. The machine.
That was a good way to make money. One time I left this guy tied up on the bed and went shopping for 2 hours, and I still made $1,000 for those 2 hours.
Just for tying him up to the bed and leaving?
Yeah, I left him. I went to Walmart, as a matter of fact.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. I was very creative. I think people need to be more creative.
What was that? Happy birthday to... Oh, Bathtub Girl? Oh, that's Highway 39.
Yeah.
Wishing you a happy birthday, Bathtub Girl.
Oh, tell him thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah, I sent you a tweet.
Yeah. But I think people need to be much more creative and lighten up. I mean, all this Occupy stuff, you know, instead of whining and complaining, why not do something, you know?
I think
call
people are doing something. Look at a non-sicko. Look at a non-sicko. He's doing something. He got a job. You got a job, a non-sicko.
Yeah,
that's what you're doing something about it. You're like
fucking working. I'm looking too, bro. Most
people
don't have
3 months. Settled on a minimum wage job, and that's, dude, that's ballsy, dude. Seriously, there's a lot of people that are out there that are just on the sidelines complaining about not having a job and feeling that they're you know, some jobs are beneath them. And they rather just you know, suck government cheese than work, and you're kind of, you know, breaking that little stereotype.
Well, see,
and you're just like, fuck it.
Here's the thing though, a lot of the reasons why people would much rather just go ahead and get their you know, welfare and food stamps and stuff is that shit pays more than minimum wage.
Okay? Yeah, but it's not the type of system I would get into. Me personally, I would rather do without the government and fucking have a harder time than live off the government.
But the thing is you don't have a family to support. You know,
How do you know?
I'm not saying everybody's like this. I'm not saying everybody's like this. But I do know some. I do know some people. This is how they feel. People I've had personal conversations with. They've got kids to take care of. All right. So they get this amount of money from food stamps and shit, you know, and from like house, you know, they're on government assisted housing and all that, that equates to more than minimum wage. Well, if they go get a minimum wage job, they lose all of that. So they then, because you can't live by yourself supporting a family on minimum wage. I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
No, it's not possible.
We can argue about this all day long. Okay, you cannot live off $7.25 an hour. All right, not working 12. You could work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're not going to live off that shit.
Now, when supporting a kid, absolutely not. I agree with you.
So, why go out and get a minimum wage job and take a pay cut, and now your kids can't eat? You ain't got no roof over your head or anything like that. You don't have your Medicare. You know they lose their Medicare benefits, so now the kids don't got insurance. If a kid gets sick, now they're fucked. You know, that's why a lot, and I'm not saying all of these people, I'm not even saying the majority of these people, but that's why there's a lot of people refuse to get a minimum wage job. It's taking a pay cut. You know, and when you're supporting two kids, when you're a single parent supporting two kids, you can't afford to take a pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just talking about how people should just get a job, it's not very productive or constructive at all, because I think we're all very aware that there are people in society that can't just get a job. So it's not a very productive conversation to have. I mean, of course, if you are capable of getting a job, please do. But especially now, it's so impossible to get one that pays a living wage. And we're talking about supporting kids. God, support yourself on minimum wage.
Fuck.
I have
so much capabilities of getting such a good fucking job, but I don't have the credentials to do it. I don't have the experience, quote-unquote, experience to fucking do it. So I have to resort to doing things on the side. I used to sell a shitload of drugs just to be able to have my own house, to have a little bit of money in my pocket, and to be able to travel. Now I don't do that anymore because I see that as being immoral. I don't want to do that anymore. It brings way too much danger than simply just, you know, working. But I have been trying to find at least a minimum wage job, even off the books. It is not possible around here. And I live in kind of like in the city like area, but it's not possible.
And trust me, I know, I feel your pain. Like I said, I've been a manager at two restaurants, okay?
was a week away from getting a general manager's position and getting my own store. So, I mean, I've got management experience, shit like that, and it still took me 3 months to find a job, and the job I found isn't even in that industry. I mean, to be honest, I feel almost like a hypocrite doing what I'm doing, you know, going to work for the job that I'm going to work for, but I got to do what I got to do sometimes, you know, but
yeah.
I'm about to have to kill myself, and this is one way that the government has kept us complacent, is I'm not about to have time to think about what's going on in the world, because I'm gonna be doing so much work and shit like that that all I'm gonna do is I'm gonna come home, I'm gonna shower, I'm gonna eat, I may do a little bit of cleaning, bam, time to go to bed. You know, so it's a bitch. You know, so people just saying, well, why don't you just go out there and do this and go? It's not possible. And then you talk about people who, if this is the 99% being represented out here, why isn't everybody out there? Because some people can't get out there. You know, some people can't get out there because they work so much. They have so much shit going on just to keep their heads above water that they can't get out on the street and protest with these people. But I know why. I know more people than I don't know, or I know more people support this than don't support this. You know what I mean? Right. The first thing we have to do with this movement is let's open everybody's eyes, let's wake people back up.
I think stories like that, you could be heard a great more. I mean, I've heard all the different Occupy people talking on Vince's show, and I mean, I was just laughing at him, but today I can relate to it. This is the first time I've ever related to you all.
You should listen to me more, because I say about the same shit every time I come on. I get really repetitive.
No, I mean, this is the first time I've heard you guys really talk in a logical manner about student loans and having to work 2-3 jobs to be able to pay that off. You're a slave to the system before you graduate. There's something wrong with that.
No, you're a slave to the system when you're born.
On your, with a mortgage,
well, not in
on
my
your
world,
credit.
But you're a slave
and you don't even have a job
period.
Yet.
I take more control of my kids' education. I'm their teacher. I'm the one that provides the curriculum. You know, I teach them to think for themselves rather than to follow a system blindly. You know,
right.
Rhetoric
and
logic.
I'm someone who's like that, and then I go out into the working world, and depending on the environment, depending on if people are cool or not, but most likely they're not going to be cool. In my experience, I've been in a lot of situations where employers and employees are just not cool. And I say that because I'm a critical thinker, and they don't like that. And I don't want to say it's a freaking conspiracy, but sometimes I look around and I talk to my peers who are my age, who just graduated from college, and we're all kind of agreeing, like, we go into the work world, and we're individuals, and we're independent thinkers, and we're critical thinkers, and we're not necessarily asserting ourselves, like, we're right, goddammit, but we speak out, and we try to participate in our workplace, and we get shut down, and it's like this, you know, these attacks on just our personhood just because we're critical thinkers. They want us to be sheep. And that's another thing with the experience thing. When you try to get a job and say, well, we need you to have 5 years of experience. I kind of realized part of the reason why they want that experience is because they want people who understand that if you're going to go into this job, you understand how this job works. And when things come about where you need to stay quiet, you know you've had 5 years of experience in this work kind of a workplace, and you know when it's time to stay quiet. That's how I've interpreted that. Because I spent 9 months trying to get a job, and the only job I could get was minimum wage at Radio Shack for a while, and I quit that because I couldn't stand it. And then I worked for a psychiatrist in Beverly Hills who was totally just greedy and cared about money, and she ended up telling me things like, you know, she didn't like me because I was always right. That was her criticism of me. So it's, I mean, that's kind of me being a rich girl complaining, not rich myself, but my parents are wealthy, so I'm privileged. But then I go and try to make something of myself with that privilege, and it's like I'm shot down because I'm a threat. And if, you know, you either submit to that sort of passiveness and understanding that, okay, I got to keep my mouth shut, or you fight against that. And I think that's what a lot of those college kids that, you know, we think, oh, those rich white kids who could just go home to their warm beds and their parents,
right.
You know, they I think a lot of them have fought through what I fought through. So that's what I see. And then well, those now these kids get the experience, especially in Occupy LA, where they don't have the threat of police force there. Around there, a lot of people camping are, you know, they came in off of Skid Row and they feel comfortable there. They got thrown out of their homes or homeless, et cetera. So those college kids that are there get to interact with those people, and it's an interesting mix. And it kind of all falls under the same umbrella and the same theme of just this general oppression that we can't quite label, but we know it's there. And I'm done.
So maybe it's not so much that you're a threat, but it's just that you do not fit in. You don't fit into the system they set up. If you want to see that as a threat, I could see that. But
I've made people cry. Not because I intended to make them cry, but because they didn't understand me. And I've never been a threatening person. They just don't understand, why is this girl working so hard? Does she want to steal our jobs from us? And this is from when I worked in a parks and recreation department for a city. And I loved my job, and I went about my job, and people were afraid of me. Because these are women in their 40s and 50s, and I lived through the 60s and 70s, and they worked for parks and recreation in suburbia under a very conservative municipal government. And then little liberal Lauren Becker pops up doing her thing, confident, being the woman they probably, I don't want to say wish they were.
Kind of like how you did coming into this show. You kind of like, you turned some heads on this show too. You had the same effect here. Like I vividly remember both Bathtub Girl and Op No Pro, rest in peace. I remember them both being a little taken aback by your brazen sexual appetite, and you know, hey, you're a liberated woman. You know, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's beyond. I live beyond that sort of weird fear and that weird. I'm going to live within the system and the structure. I can still submit myself to it and participate in it and be fine because I do have the white privilege and I do have daddy paying for my law school. And I recognize that and I appreciate that. But I also, with that privilege, I want to take it a step beyond. You know, like, why not? I get to do that. And I think there's a lot of kids in that Occupy Wall Street movement sort of in my shoes, and they kind of have that same feeling, or at least I hope so. And if they don't, you know, I hope they can have that kind of a conversation.
Try being homeless for a week without any food or anything. Just completely cut off from your dad.
I think she's doing that. She's been going to Occupy LA, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to listen to me calling in yesterday, I explained I had a moment of homelessness. And I got this sort of, I was simultaneously pissed off because I was kicked out of my camp. And I was realizing that I was experiencing the mechanism of homelessness. So you can listen to what I said yesterday. I don't want to relive it again. Long story short, that's all solved and everything's cool now. But, yeah, like, this gives me an opportunity to really see and really interact with people who are just down and out, you know.
Well, I think maybe living a week or 2 weeks like that would probably benefit you. Because when you have someone to fall back on, you have people to call. That moment of desperation, I mean, you just can't grab it.
And I understand. I've grabbed it enough, and I'm open to it. But right now, I can't because, like, I honor and respect my father, and he's paying for law school. I want to go to law school. He wants me to succeed. I want to succeed, and I want to take my law school and be able to proliferate change in the system if I can. So, I mean, maybe when vacation rolls around, I'll do that. But, and I mean, that's what I've been doing on the weekends. Like, instead of hitting up West Hollywood or hitting up downtown Fullerton and getting drunk, I go to Occupy LA and I immerse myself.
I bet you it's a much more rewarding social interaction as well.
Yeah.
I mean, because first of all, you can probably actually hear people you're talking to as opposed to a fucking bar. And speaking of people that want to be heard, I think Div dropped off and she's back on. Div, did you want to chime back in here?
No, I just wanted to say I'm out. I'm falling asleep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, me and my show.
No, I have class tomorrow.
It's okay. But no, you can tell me straight. I can take it. Just tell me. My show's boring. my voice puts people in a coma. It's okay.
No.
That's why I'm on late at night for the insomniacs and the meth heads. Hence Shag Me.
Hey, I'm not a meth head. I've never done meth, and I'm proud to say that. I've never done really hard drugs.
You sold it.
I'm definitely an insomniac.
Did you sell it? Was that one of the things you sold?
I cannot say. But, wink, wink.
So I'll take that as a yes.
I told you, I had to do what I had to do to fucking make a living.
I know, bro.
Make somewhat of a living. I'm not proud of it. All right. And I won't do it again.
Good night.
All right, Div. Thanks for coming out. Appreciate it, hon. Take care. Good night. That's Synthetic Divinity. And I'm Vince in the Bay. And we're going to take a little brickety break here. Okay, first, let me take this. Skanky Schoolgirl's here. Hey, Skanky Schoolgirl. What's up?
Hey.
What is you?
What's up with you?
Nothing. What's on your mind?
Not much, Vince. I just wanted to see what you were up to.
Dude, I'm having a show. I'm kind of pissing off all the occupiers right now. I want to just sort of challenge some of these ideas that that are floating around, and I feel like we're kind of finding some common ground here. Everybody sort of agrees that shit's kind of fucked up and messed up. I think we've kind of worked through some of the drama, but you're here now, so what do you got for us?
Oh, the big mouth is here. Yes. No, I think it's all just, like I've been blogging and posting on Twitter for the past couple weeks, is that change needs to start, you know, kind of small, and I think that all these kids that are at the Occupy movement really could be using their time spent doing something a little bit more productive. That's my opinion, and I'm sure I'm going to get slammed for that, but that's okay. I'm used to it.
Oh, we will slam you. Don't worry.
I look forward to it.
So we got about... Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, you had something you wanted to say. Go for it.
Oh, I just was going to say that we finally got the computer working and able to call in, so... And I missed half of your show, but,
Oh, we've been talking about more or less... student loans and Occupy Wall Street for most of the show, but I'm more than happy to change topics. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think Ab Haxes and I were going to talk about computer stuff, but that was like the subject.
Dude, people here love computer shit, right. And if it's what I think you were going to talk about, please enlighten us. What do you got?
It's like 2 weeks too late now, but we wanted to broach on that whole Sabu pastebin thing that he came out with, but
uh-huh.
It's kind of lame now. It's like over.
Why is it lame now?
Oh, well.
If it was something of importance at the time, why is it not important now?
Because it's done. It's over. It's like been heard. Everybody knows he's kind of a jackass at this point. Well, like we didn't already, but... You know, I'm really surprised at how many people follow this person, and the more he tweets and retweets stuff, and everybody's all like, oh my God, we love you, Sabu, keep it up, you know.
Because people are so used to following and not leading,
right.
Which is one of the biggest problems I've seen, but you can't change that. People got to learn to be a leader, not a follower, and then once people learn that, there you go, you got more power to a person.
Oh, gosh, it's not even about leading. It's just about not being a sheep, I think, at this point. It's scary. So aren't you a little bit worried at about how, you know, the masses behave? It scares the shit out of me. I don't know. But.
Well, I think in some ways someone like Sabu is making making people aware. I think he's very aware of what he's very aware of what he's doing. Trust me. He knows that he's got a lot of power. And I think sometimes he wields it just for the sake of showing people, like, look over here, everybody. And that's sort of the point in some ways. But, you know, how's him using his celebrity, if you want to call it that, any different than any other person that you follow on Twitter that's got a bunch of, you know, that's popular? Like you could apply the same logic to
fucking
a myriad
Britney
of
Spears.
Celebrities. I wouldn't be surprised if I did the same thing if I was in that position. I don't even think he has that much power. I think you're giving him a little bit more credit than he deserves. I mean, he's certainly you know, has an audience, no doubt about it. But if you want to talk, like, base things solely off of, like, Twitter, he's got 20,000 followers. That's not, I mean, that's, there's Michael Moore scares me more than he does. The fact that people follow Michael Moore and hang on his every word, that bothers me. Sabu actually has some fucking knowledge. That guy's a smart guy, all right? He might be a little brazen, a little bit, you know, too ghetto and up in your face for your taste, but I don't. If you're going to complain about people being sheeple, I would pick a bigger target.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I can definitely think of bigger targets.
I mean, I think it's great that you and Abhaxis have had close relations with Sabu, and you can talk from experience. And I've had, you know, I've talked to Sabu, and you know, he is what he is, and he gave me some really good advice actually in dealing with Anonymous, and it's something that I took to heart, and I still exhibit today. Part of the reason why I'm challenging all of you folks in this thing is because of some advice he gave me. He told me to stay neutral with Anonymous and all of this shit.
Well, that's
right?
Good advice.
and that's what I'm doing. And that was the best advice I've gotten in a long time as far as conducting my show was from Sabu. And he's a lot smarter than I think you're giving him credit for. I really do. And I, honestly, you know, you can have beef with you know, we're all not going to get along perfectly. It's real simple. But I don't know. Again, I think I don't know. I just think there's worse problems. There's worse demigods out there than
Oh, I love it. No, Vince, really, this is great. I like hearing what you have to say. So, you know.
I don't agree with Sabu and everything. I got off on a really bad foot with Sabu. He blocked me because I was talking major smack to him at first. and then I got to know him, and he's a cool guy. You know, I don't agree with everything he's doing, but some things I'm definitely on the same page with him, just like Anonymous. Like Anonymous in general, like, I'm not down with every single fucking operation these people do, but, you know, they get it right, in my opinion, more times than they don't.
Yay!
Well, I would agree with you, Vince. I don't agree with everything they do, but who the fuck am I to say, oh, don't do this? There's 20 other people that are going to do it, so.
Right.
You can't change everyone but yourself.
That's exactly my point with the previous comment as far as all of these movements and protests and all this stuff. So, you know, but change is within. God, there was a cartoon about that. Oh, never mind. Anyway, I'm babbling. But
that's what we do here. Continue to babble. It's all good, honey.
We released
you know, the load. You know who we haven't heard from is Highway 39. Highway 39, I'm sorry. I had you on hold just because I was getting some weird, like feedback. Did you want to chime in? We were talking about Anonymous. I know you're very opinionated on that. What did you want to add?
Well, it's just that when I see people with bandanas on and masks running around in the streets when there's all kinds of chaos, I get freaked out. And I'm kind of a radical guy up here in the mountainside up in Canada. You know, I'm a little left-wing myself, you might say. But when I see this happening, I think, oh, they want to loot. They look like looters, and that's my issue.
Well, hold on. A lot of protesters, not just in this protest, but there's a lot of protests just in general where people cover up their faces for many different reasons. One of them is they don't want to be persecuted for their beliefs. If they do get caught on TV or something like that, then they don't want the boss to come down on
God
them.
Forbid, God forbid, well, some of them might actually have jobs, believe it or not.
I mean,
it goes back to my other statement.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them actually
listen,
work for fucking banks. You might have
it
bank
goes back to my
there.
Other statement. A lot of them, as soon as you're a protester, you're considered a protester, and you protest, you're considered a terrorist. So what they have to do is make a file on you. Did you know that? They have to make a file on you. So now the government's going to make a fucking file on you just because you're protesting against your rights. So in the future, if anything comes up, oh, we remember this guy because he's in our data bank.
Do you guys think that Anonymous has a file?
What?
If it does, they have a file? It's probably the most adorable file that they have, with the exception of Goose Cream Soup.
I would not be surprised if everyone had a file.
I know I do.
Well, you know, can I just say that the Prime Minister's office was following me up until yesterday, and then he stopped following me. That's the Prime Minister of Canada. They were following my account. The Premier of British Columbia is following my account right now. Like, I feel nervous just because, you know, I will put, you know, tweet stuff out that is a little radical, you might think, eh?
Oh, you mean on Twitter they're following you?
Yeah.
Not in their vehicle.
No, I live in the mountains. I live like thousands of miles away from these people, but they're following me on Twitter. That limits, you know, I feel like I'm limited in what I can express, because I could express a heck of a lot more, but I feel like I'm being reined in by these authorities basically following me on. Maybe it's unrealistic, but I have post-traumatic stress disorder, so, you know, that could be part of it, eh?
Right. I'm from Nova Scotia.
Sorry.
It's so cool.
I'm on the other side of the continent.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys sound way different than we do.
Who, us BCers?
Yeah. You're the reason everybody makes fun of us.
I'm Russian.
Are you?
I feel really relaxed.
Come on.
The hell's going on? I just walked away for a minute, and I feel like I've lost all control of my show. What are you guys talking about?
It's Bella Park.
We're having a snuggle party.
It's a snuggle party?
Orgasm.
Thank
you. Yeah,
oh, you're going to have an orgasm for us, Tub Girl? Tub Girl's going to have an orgasm, everybody. Go ahead. Take it away, Tub Girl.
Maybe tomorrow night when there's more time. I get too loud.
You got 15 minutes, dude. You can come out quick. 15 minutes.
I don't know how much time we have. I'm in the bathtub.
Oh, we got 15 minutes. Get the motor running here. We got to bring on another caller. Speaking of,
I am thinking I'm going to do the dominatrix thing again. I think I'll do. I miss doing that.
We should do a whole show where you just do a show as a dominatrix and just force us all.
I'd rather do readings. That'd be more fun.
Okay. Let's bring on another caller, our good friend Goose Cream Soup, now in the building. What's up, Goose Cream Soup?
Not much. Laughing still because you did that to me in the green room and I freaked out.
Oh, sorry. That's the other green room.
That's the in there.
I pulled her into the green room to screen her call and make sure it was her, and I guess that freaked her out.
You did.
Yeah, that's what the green room's like. It's pretty cozy in there. It's cozy, but you know, we're working on it. I'm trying to put up some posters in there and just kind of make it more appealing.
Does Miss Becker, does she swing both ways? I'm just curious.
I would not be surprised.
That?
Why? Did you want her to slip into the tub with you?
I miss kissing a woman. I really do.
Oh, I miss. So do I.
Seven.
Oh my god, these pills are good. Maybe it's my drink. I feel so fucking good.
I'll come out right now. I've never been with a woman, and a lot of people think I have, but
really?
I do have a soft spot. I have a soft spot, particularly for Asian women, and just in general, women who are like physically just very feminine and smaller.
I can get you an Asian woman.
Well, my first lover was my violin
teacher.
And it's
not always.
And she's, like, tall, and she has short hair, and she, I mean, oh, my God, she could kiss. And I miss her. I really miss her.
Oh, yeah? It's kind of like how I feel about Zuzana. I told you guys about Zuzana, didn't I?
No. Yeah, you have. Next.
I refreshed my memory.
Did I not tell you about Zuzana?
I want some fun, you know. Enough of this Occupy crap. Let's have some, like, tomorrow night. Can
Occupy
we have some fun?
Condoms. How about that?
Occupy condoms?
Well, I don't know.
Isn't that already in effect on the ground in all the occupies,
I
hope?
Occupy Pussy Land. That sounds a lot better
condoms.
To me. Lick your way.
Oh my.
See, aren't you more relaxed now? Just a little bit.
Who, me?
What are you asking?
I'm always tense, so I need someone to massage my shoulders and everything.
Well, I need somebody to rinse my hair because I don't think I can go into the water. And
oh, you might drown, right?
I think I'm drunk, Vince. I think I'm drunk.
Oh, no. How did that happen? Oops-a-daisy.
There she goes, drowning in the water.
Oh, I did. I twisted. I saved the phone, though.
All right, I'll tell you about Zuzana.
Yes, please.
Oh, motherfucking yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We've been together on the sofa.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the music way down low. I've waited so long for this moment. It's hard to believe it's really so. The door is locked, there's no one home. They've all gone out, we're all alone. Zuzana, 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 I'm crazy loving you.
Zuzana, I'm crazy loving you.
I put my arm around your shoulder. Run my fingers through your hair. It is a dream, I can't believe it. It took so long, it's only fair. And then the phone begins to ring. And a stranger's voice on the other end of the line says, "Oh, I'm sorry, wrong number. You fucking whore."
Zuzana.
Zuzana. Zuzana, you motherfucking whore. Zuzana. Zuzana, Zuzana, you crazy bitchin' whore. That's right, Zuzana, I know what the fuck you're doing. Yeah, fellas, watch out for this Zuzana bitch. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm not talking about your regular garden variety dirty slut or whore. This bitch, this fucking cunt bag, she's a man killer. She'll eat your testicles.
God.
You know what I'm talking about, fellas.
Hey, Zuzana. Zuzana.
Zuzana. Zuzana, I'm crazy fucking you. Dooby 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 doo. Listen up, you dirty sluts, you fucking whores, bitches and hoe bags. This is Vince in the Bay all up in you, bringing you the real deals. These nuts serve more than meals on wheels, you know what I'm saying? So lay back, relax, and check out this story about my homegirl, Zuzana. I think you know her. Oh yeah, Zuzana, you know what I'm going to do to you, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. Cradled between your tender thighs, I lift you to my mouth, and the abundance of your wetness greets me. And my mouth overflows with your warm essence. Your sweet taste is on my tongue. Your fragrance delights my senses. No gentle lick this visit. No bashful, cautious approach, for I wish to consume you.
All right, Vince, stop making love in my ears, please.
Push against my hungry mouth, young one, as the tip of my tongue slides up the slippery furrow that welcomes me between rows of delicate pink petals. Thrust against my generous tongue, show me the power of your desire. My
oral caresses consume you. My exploring tongue lifts the hood and finds your smooth, firm pearl. You squeal in that unique way you always do when I hit it just right, signaling that I've found your spot, of course. I harden with response. I harden in response. In response, I harden. My jaws protest that my mouth open. What?
Turn off the echo, please.
My jaws protest what my open mouth provides.
Lockjaw.
But I'm unrelenting in my gift to you, intent on your fulfillment. I feel your body tense, Susanna. Why are you so quiet, Susanna? Are you getting close? You're so quiet, Susanna. Concentrating? Bearing down. Soon now, my love. Ecstasy approaches, Susanna. You push hard and fast against my tongue, shameless in using me, and I so willingly comply until you cry out, and in your satisfaction, I will find mine. But mine, Susanna, will be the greater, because I got you off, baby. You're mine, sister.
Susanna.
Susanna. Susanna, I'm crazy humping you.
Crazy loving you.
Susanna. Susanna. Susanna, I'm crazy fucking you.
Hey, Susanna.
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 Susanna, you crazy fucking whore. I fucking hate you, Susanna.
Susanna.
You cunt bag.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I love you. I love you all. Thank you. So, yeah, so that was Susanna. Let's check. I
feel enlightened.
You said she's from Brooklyn, or she lived in Brooklyn. She lives in Brooklyn. Good times. Well, we got 5 minutes left to go here, 6 minutes left to go.
Was she Jewish?
No.
Oh.
She's gone, though. It's ancient history now.
So sad.
Yeah, just left with the memories.
Why don't you cry on my shoulder?
After the show, honey. Come on. 5 minutes left. Let's go around the horn and check in with everybody.
You don't want to check in with me.
What's that? Let's start with Goose Cream Soup. Goose Cream Soup, any final thoughts before we sign off tonight? We're almost done. Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
Dude, you just missed your boyfriend. Why? How come you took off? Jesus, who is
what?
Fucking...
What
is that
fuck?
Darth Vader on the line? What the hell? That's Highway 39.
I don't know. I was trying.
Highway 39, is your microphone up your nostril? Could you please remove it from your nostril, your nasal passage? My God, dude. Is the microphone literally attached to your nose? What's going on, dude? You've got some weird static action going on there. We can hear every time you breathe. Hello? Is this thing on?
Hello?
Mic check!
Hello?
Mic check!
We?
Mic check!
Need to get what? The fuck out off this show! There's only a 4 minutes left! Come on, you're supposed to repeat one.
Like, where was that?
Is this on?
It is on?
Oh, God. All right, that's it. Highway 39, anything you'd like to say? No, I didn't even get through with Goose. Goose, anything you want to say before we go?
I don't even know what you were saying to me before, but we got interrupted with whatever that was.
She sounds flushed.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, you're blushing.
I know. You're I know so I fussy. Am. I am.
Sensitive nipples. I bet she has sensitive nipples. What do you think, Vince?
I'm going to take sensitive nipples for 500, Pat.
And the answer is...
Hang on a second. Can we play that? My fucking soundboard.
I think this conversation needs to stop. I'm blushing too hard.
It is going to stop. That's why we're having the goddamn final thoughts. All right, fine. thanks for coming out, Goose. Highway 39, your final thoughts before we get out of here.
Well, I just want to say that it was a very enjoyable song, that little song that you played there. But some of the vulgarity really got to me. But, you know, what can I say? That's just my thing. But it had some really good beats to it, some kind of reggae songs. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I prefer the Adriano Celentano version. There's an Italian version done by pop singer Adriano Celentano. And that's where I first heard the song. It's his cover, but... I do the Inglés version on my program. So thanks. Appreciate the call tonight, Highway 39. Let's see. Bathtub Girl, your final thoughts.
Well, I have a question for the chat room. If I come on tomorrow night, should I do a spontaneous reading, or should I give you tips on being a really good dominatrix or going to a dominatrix that knows what she's doing? Which one?
I say... Let's go with the readings.
Mm. Okay. Such a bummer.
Yeah, readings. Cool. Thanks for coming out, Bathtub Girl. Shagmi, anything you'd like to say in parting here, sir? Wait, hang on. Sorry, Shagmi, you're on.
All I would like to say is get more educated on how the police system works. On how the educational system works, and more information is imperative to the future, and watch closely how history is starting to repeat itself. Also, Cox.
Thank you. And Anani Bear and / also Ms. Becker, any final thoughts? Expect hugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
keep it real.
Sweet. Thanks for coming out. Appreciate the call. And thank you, everybody in the chat room, for listening. Jesus Christ, it cleared out in a hurry, quick in a hurry. Thank you, Goose Cream Soup, Mary Mad, No Thieves Allowed, Op Anani Bear, Prison Reform Movement, Shagmi, and X25 Princess. Without any further ado, Lisa Shalom, final thoughts before we leave.
God is a black lesbian in a wheelchair.
Brilliant. Thank you, Lisa Shalom, for being my in-studio guest tonight. I'm Vince in the Bay. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. And I'm going to leave you here with the song from Phil Collins. This is Susudio. Good night, everybody. Nah, just kidding. Good night, everybody. Peace out, yo. Get it, Phil. Yeah.
Thank you, very nice.